tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers. We're here during another AfterBuzz TV after show for MTV's Teen Wolf Season 5, Episode 8, Ouroboros. I'm your host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. Joining me from MTV's Are You the One in the Challenge, Brittany Baldy.
Hey guys, what's up? Make sure you guys use AVTV Teen Wolf.
Woo, woo! And from Are You the One on MTV, Ryan Malady.
Yes, coming to a Wheaties box near you, I'm Ryan Malady. You guys can keep up with me at Ryan Malady. And if you are watching live on youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, go ahead and throw us some comments, because we have some special guests here, and I'm sure they'd love to hear what you have to say. So do we.
We have two very special guests for you guys today. He was with us a few weeks ago. He plays Sheriff Stalinsky. Please welcome Lyndon Ashby.
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Natalie Martin with us, played by Susan Walters. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So excited you
Thanks
could be here.
Me.
You guys look great.
I'm a big fan of yours from The Vampire Diaries also. And I know you've been on CSI and One Tree Hill and Young and Restless. I know everyone probably recognizes you from all those shows.
It's fun that I've gotten recognized from Teen Wolf a few times, which is really fun. Yeah.
No. So I need to ask you, do you know what's going on in this town? Because I feel like from Lydia's backstory, it's like I feel like you know, right?
Well,
and maybe you're just playing like you don't for Lydia's sake.
I think that more will be revealed about what I know as the season goes on. But it's fun for me as an actress. Like last year, I would only want to read my part of the script, because it's hard to be on something and know that all this other stuff is happening, but then you're not allowed to know it.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I didn't want to have that influence me at all. So this year it's kind of fun that it's kind of ebbing and flowing a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I can't wait to see what that backstory is.
Yeah.
And can you comment at all on when Lydia had that sort of trippy experience and she found you and like her grandmother in the tub? Like, was there truth to that? Because she said she was having someone else's like memory, and I just know all the fans just want to know. I'm sure they're talking about it on the chat.
Right, because it's hard. I mean, can you imagine actually like sitting next to your mother-in-law who's bleeding out of her head? That's going to be horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but I think it's probably how Lydia might have remembered things. But I have a feeling going and visiting her in that state, in that place, really happened. And then Natalie also probably really scolded young Lydia for coming in a room that she shouldn't have come in. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the particulars.
Yeah, I just remember from last season we went to the lake house, the Martins lake house.
Yeah.
I don't know if Sheriff Stalinsky got to investigate that at all.
No.
But I have a feeling if you do get to go back, you'll be finding some clues there.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like we ever got to know why, like, it was soundproof and all of that.
Right.
And
right.
I just don't think that you're in the dark. And I want to see what you know, and I can't wait.
I love that my character is a little more part of the story at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I even feel like you could be a banshee. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that?
I can certainly scream.
I can certainly scream.
I'm the loudest person I know.
I can see banshee.
I give Holland a run for her money, actually, with the screaming.
Was it Gracie who ran cross country?
Uh-huh.
She would yell so loud at football games, like that kind of thing, that people would
My nephew would hear me on the field and just cringe. And he's like, well, Aunt Susan was in the stands. He would be playing football and could tell that I was screaming
That's
his name.
So
but people
funny.
At cross-country meets.
They'd be like, hey, can you yell for my kid,
yell
too?
For my daughter? And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, what's her name? Okay. And then I would yell. And then the kid would come running by like, who are you? But I'd be screaming her name.
That's amazing. Does Jeff Davis have this information?
He does now.
He says he watches our show, so
there you go.
We'll see if he does.
There you
if you
go.
Become a banshee suddenly, then... Hopefully he has watched it. So let's get into the episode. I want to know what is going on with Sheriff Selinsky. It seems like suddenly he's playing for the other side, and he's not working with the group. You're not communicating with the wolf pack, and even your son's lying to you. It's like, I feel like you're really... And you get the slap by Melissa.
It was funny, while watching the episode, in the corner there was a hashtag.
Hashtag
slapped by Melissa.
I know.
Like, out there.
I tweeted to her. What did I tweet to Melissa? Something like, I've always wanted to do that. Yeah. That's
like
what
fantasy.
I tweeted.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, I guess that is a good question, because your character... Landon really shined in this episode because of the inner conflict that you've been dealing with. It's kind of coming to a T. So what is that like?
It's, you know, it's just, you reach a point where you can't bend the rules anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I really thought it was very poignant dialogue, you know, when I was talking to her and saying, this is somebody's kid. What, are we just going to ignore this? You think it's just going to go away?
Yeah.
She is someone's child, and you can't just wish this away. And there are procedures that need to be followed, and you know, I can't bend the rules anymore.
It was almost like she was trying to get you to cover up the death in a way.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do with the body?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
What are you going to do with the evidence? Like, just toss it away?
Yeah, but I feel like you've been doing it for so long. Like,
what do you think the trigger?
Point
that I can't.
What was that trigger that was like, I'm not doing this anymore?
Probably the dead body with the sword.
The girl today
in the kitchen.
Right in the kitchen.
On the dinner table.
Well, also, you know what else? Also, I mean, you've been going along with it, but also he has a sense of, I mean, this is what I love about how Lyndon plays it. It's always like, what? Right? But then, you know, dread doctors, like, do we have to call them that? Or, you know, whatever. And then there is a dead body on a kitchen table, and I think having another adult there with you made it that much more real.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it's like, wait, this isn't kid stuff and whatever. This is like a dead child, and here's another adult, and we're both witness to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can't wish it away, and you can't make it go away, and you can't.
And it could be your kid.
And it could be anybody's kid. It could be my kid. It could be, you know, but the fact is, that is somebody's child.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know what happened. There needs to be an accountability here. And there also needs to be, they need to know what happened to their child. Not maybe how it happened in the grisly details, but they need to know.
You can't just cover up a
that their child is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you hated Melissa's honest statement of what happened, because what are you going to do with that? Like, you can't... Do you guys think that the town is going to find out? I mean, I know in Vampire Diaries, the town does find out, and then they put, you know, like, the ring around the town so no supernatural creatures can come in, but it was okay because they had all gone off to college. So, I don't
and
know.
And all the parents were dead.
Bad memories.
In a belt.
So it's like, not to compare the two shows, but I mean, the kids are going off to college, I think, maybe not in 5B, but in season 6, I believe. So it's like, is the town ready to find out? Is that something that could happen?
Let me get Jeff on the phone.
But I think
Jeff,
did
this happen?
Yeah. No. Anything can happen.
Maybe. Don't tell him anything.
I didn't realize that happened on Vampire Diaries, actually. But that makes sense, because after a while, enough people are privy to the information.
Yeah.
But what it brings it back to also the reality of, like, this is a child. This, we can't just keep pretending. You know, not pretending. We can't just keep having supernatural be okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that it is supernatural, so it's not the norm for the town.
Right.
Yeah. We actually have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you from?
This is Robert from Tennessee.
Hi, Robert from Tennessee.
Robert.
Do you have a question for our special guest?
I certainly do.
Go ahead.
The question is, of all the characters that have died and that have left on their own, what characters do they miss working with the most?
I'll have to hand that to you, because I haven't worked with a whole lot.
I boy, you caught me off guard.
Love that scene with you and Allison in the elevator last year. Mm-hmm. Those kind of scenes remind you that they're teenagers and going through these huge ordeals.
Mm-hmm. I miss Hecklin. I miss Crystal. Oh, yeah. I miss Colton. I miss those guys. I miss Daniel. If I had to pick one, I couldn't do it.
It's fine. You put them all in one nice little basket.
Yep. Yeah, that's an attractive basket.
It's a nice basket.
It's a very nice basket.
Very attractive basket.
Oh, my. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Robert from Tennessee. We really appreciate your support and watching the show. And for you guys
thank
at
you very
home,
much.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Robert.
You guys at home, you can go ahead and call us at 424-256-1729 if you'd like to give us a call and ask a question. And we actually have another caller on the line right now. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
What's your favorite scary movie?
Maybe now they'll respond. No. Okay, so I think that scared them off. Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, you know, it's Teen Wolf. It's a scary show.
Ryan, let's check in with the chat. What are they saying? Are they excited about the episode? I know a lot goes on in this episode. It was very emotional.
It was.
Were they sad about the episode? What are they saying?
Well, everyone, first of all, really loves you guys.
Aww.
And they ship you.
They ship you guys.
Do you know how long it took me to know what that meant? Like, they used to do it on Vampire Diaries, and I'm always like... I had no idea until it was like just a couple of weeks ago that we finally figured it out.
No, I figured it out in a convention.
Oh, you were
like
ahead of me then.
2 years ago, but I had no idea because I was like, shipping?
Shipping was.
Putting us in a ship?
Right.
Send us somewhere?
I knew what it was, but I never got that it was part of relationship.
That's funny.
I'm admitting it.
No, I was right there with you for a while. I just
pretended. What is that ship called? Natalie and Lyndon? Lindley or Nadin?
No, they ship
Lindley sounds pretty.
Malinsky and Melissa. There was a lot of
Malinsky.
The night we had that.
Malinsky. Apparently, yeah. We were asking him, you know, where he was going to go on the date.
Yeah.
And we were suggesting dancing and many different things, but he just said probably dinner.
Yeah.
It's just too bad all that lighthearted stuff is kind of, it's not around anymore. We're not worrying about, like, you know, passing AP bio or going on dates. It's getting heavy now.
Well, our caller got brave and they called back.
Cool.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
What's up, guys? How are you doing?
I believe this is Josh from Florida. He's our resident caller here at AfterBuzz TV.
Remember Josh?
Yes.
Southern guys calling in.
Josh, what's your question?
I hope everyone's doing great today. Awesome to see Susan and Lyndon both together in the studio.
Susan.
Yeah.
So good. Josh, what's your question?
My question would be for you guys. How do you guys finally feel about your respective, you know, Styles and Lydia finally, like, getting together if it does happen, which, you know, we're all hoping for? And I know that would be sad for, you know, your two characters getting together, but, I mean, I think it'd be for the greater good. But I just want to know your opinion on it.
About Styles and Lydia?
And your relationship.
You know, look, as a parent, it's like with my own kids. I want them to be happy. Whoever they're happy with, I'm fine with that.
Aww.
And as far as this one, she's easy on the eyes, but
people are always so surprised. Like, you guys have worked together? Is that weird? Like, no, it's great. Like, it's easy when I work with him.
Aww.
A couple times it's been weird. You know, like with the characters that we're playing compared to. You know, Lyndon's like one of my favorite people in the whole world to help me as an actress. So then I'll be working with him against him. It's just that gets kind of crazy. But those scenes are really fun that we did, our little scene. Yeah.
I hope we get to see a date with you guys. Just after being with you guys in studio, I just feel the love. And yes, I missed that on Teen Wolf, like Ryan was saying.
I know. I don't know.
We're like, Jeff, write it in.
you know,
his eyes were twinkling in the scene with Melissa.
Real life and TV life.
I caught that.
Twinkling after the slap or before
the slap? It was before the slap. When she was like, you better leave your badge at the door. And he's still trying to be kind of cute about it, like, hey, yeah, whatever. And then she's like, I'm serious.
Taking it off. Here's my jacket, too.
Hey, okay, stop looking so cute.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Josh from Florida. We really appreciate you supporting us and asking us questions. You guys at home, you can download and rate and comment. We're on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud. We're on YouTube with the video if you like to watch the video. We really appreciate it. And we have a live read for you guys today.
We do. I'm just pulling it up right now. We all know who we'd like to thank for getting us to and fro.
Is that a word? AfterBuzz TV Studios.
And Mazda.
Yes. Mazda.
I'd also like to give a quick shout out to my wolf pack back at home watching the show right now. My friends my whole life, and I feel like a lone wolf right now, but thanks for watching, guys. Love you.
Aww,
by the way,
they're
playing poker, and I told them to deal me in, so I'm probably winning. I'm sort of expecting those chips soon. But I'd like to read a little something because the show is free, and this is how it stays free for fans to watch. A little message from Mazda. Does driving matter to you? Driving with the windows down, the wind blowing through your hair, the smell of pine trees and fresh asphalt.
Are you there? Are you there yet?
You look forward to these moments when it's just you and the road. No distractions. Handling every curve. And feeling every nuance in the road. So ask yourself, does driving matter to you? Because if it does, we build cars just for you. Because to us, driving matters. Mazda. Thank you, guys.
That was really good.
Well done.
I was in there.
That was like watching Don Draper.
That's right. It was. It was like you were doing the thing. Like, I'm thinking it should be like this.
So I'll take Mazda's endorsement.
There you go.
Directly.
Yeah,
you can try. Another Mazda in no
That's
time.
Right.
Well, guys, feel free to call in. Right to Ryan in the live chat. We're going to go through the episode, and then we're going to go through an interview with Susan and ask Lyndon a few more questions as well.
Okay.
And we have another caller. Let's see what they have to say about tonight's episode.
Caller,
what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Anae, from Kansas.
Hi, Anae from Kansas. Did you have a question for Susan and Lyndon?
Well, this one's a very interesting question. It's a I have several questions. One is for Lyndon. It's like more of like a behind the scenes. When they did the scene with the slap with Melissa, here's my question is, how many times did it take for that slap to be done? And how many times did she actually hit him?
I think it's you. And you know, she was reluctant to do it because she's a really nice person and she's a good friend. But,
she's a good friend.
But I'm like,
don't hit me, Melissa.
I'm like, come on, just do it.
You gotta have a loose hand.
That's
how you do it.
If you don't hit me in the ear, we're all good. Ear or eye, other than that, just, you know, I've taken pretty good shots before.
Yeah.
So then she just wailed me, and I'm like,
what's the safe
word? It had a good smack to it, didn't it?
It did.
It did. But yeah, she tried to be nice, but in being nice, you're actually being mean because you have to do it
True.
You just wind up and whop them. You know.
It was believable.
It doesn't hurt all that much.
Anna, did you have another question?
Brittany's been practicing that scene for a while.
My other question was if you guys have yet at all kind of figured out what Parrish might possibly be, because a lot of people are still saying it can be a phoenix, and I've actually been looking online at, like, mythical fire creatures, and one of them that surprisingly that popped up was a chimera. The chimera actually popped up as a fire creature, and then I also saw three other possibilities. One of the things I've already been mentioned is a dragon, and I found two other possibilities, which is something called a djinn and a firebird. The firebird is actually different from a phoenix.
Firebird is an awesome car from Pontiac.
Stop! It's a Mazda! Stop! We're Mazda!
That's
right!
Sorry. And they don't make them anymore.
You know what?
If you go through that list, I'll tell you warm or cold.
You can't do that.
Go ahead.
Well, like I said, some of the other ones were kind of weird because there was one that said a fire salamander, so I was like, no, that's out of the question.
A fire salamander? That's warm.
Yeah, there was actually one that said a mythical creature was a fire salamander.
Warm.
Sounds pretty warm.
Ryan is a fire salamander.
Can you imagine having one of those prosthetics, right?
I really like the idea that he could be a chimera because we've studied that this entire season. Yep. A lot of people, yes, are going with the phoenix because that's the more obvious. But we see today Zach has wings, and it looks like the phoenix will have wings, and maybe, you know, Parrish is a successful experiment. We don't know. It could happen. Anything is possible in Teen Wolf.
I know, because I was very surprised when that popped up, and the chimera was a fire mythical creature, and then Parrish is always covered up in flames and naked, apparently.
Well, as Lydia's mother, I was very surprised that my high school daughter is hanging out with a deputy.
She has got to be 18.
Yes, she is.
She is 18. So that's my concern about this Parrish person. I was concerned that my deputy was hanging out with,
I'm like, wait, you know, a minute.
A minor, not the kind that digs underground.
Anna, thank you so much.
But hey, okay, ready? I'll go through your list because I think I remember pretty well. Wait, hold on. It was, you were cold, 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 warm, cold, warm.
Boom.
Those are the answers.
So we're close. We're somewhere around there. Fire salamander.
You are
hot. I want to be a fire salamander.
Thanks so much, Anna, for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Fire salamander.
No problem. It's an amphibian,
so it can go on land and water. And it's fire.
It's got to live in the water so it doesn't.
Let's talk about Ouroboros.
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 The snake that eats itself. Now, to me, we learn this with, you know, Deaton, and he's with the desert wolf. And I feel like because she's talking about killing her daughter, that's sort of like a snake who eats its own tail, right?
Well, yes, but
I believe the medical
staff, you know, you see the symbol is a snake. Is it eating itself, or are they intertwined?
I think they're gazing into each other, into each other's eyes.
I'm not sure.
The symbol for medical services.
An Alfa Romeo. I had an Alfa Romeo, and it might have been
a fire salamander.
It might have been a fire salamander eating itself.
There you go.
I'm like a fire bird.
And then once again, another car. Sorry, Mazda.
Oh my God! He's just trying to get you in trouble.
Yeah, piston engines. I'll show you how old I am. It's like that. It used to be the ad was piston engines go boing boing boing. Mazda engine goes.
You're so old, I don't even know that commercial.
Because they were rotary engines.
Wait, I'm curious what we're talking about.
We need to all get a bonus. The Ouroboros, it's an ancient symbol. It's been around for a long time, and it means cycles, change, and I believe that, I don't know, I see Phoenix with that. You know, burning from the ashes, rising from the ashes, rebirth. Cycles. I mean, the Ouroboros is a symbol that is used in all kinds of different ways, but it was said to be on the faces of the faceless men under those masks, who are these, I would assume, the Dread Doctors, right? And so this symbol...
I thought they were talking about the lights in, like, the summer up above, you know, the North Pole.
Well, that's why nothing's getting solved this season.
Wait, is that not it?
That's... Wait, what?
What?
Wait, hang on.
Dean, what are you talking about? There's no lights there. Oh my God!
How's he seeing out of that eye?
Where are we? Who am I?
Then they drilled through one of Kira's eyes.
Yeah,
that was creepy. I didn't ask you guys.
You know what? I had to look away.
Are the doctors doing that? Because they did the same thing to Liam. Are they doing that because they want, like, you know, to inject their experiments with the wolves and the kitsune, like, DNA? Is that why they're taking that? Because it looked like a big needle, and they were extracting something from the supernatural creature.
I wonder if that's
something to do
with their memory.
Well, they stuck it in, and they got struck by lightning, and then she was like, you know, flame on from that point, right?
Well, that's her kitsune protecting her. That's her aura that's protecting her. That's within her. But I feel like the doctors are taking something from them. They're making those extractions, and I don't know.
They took the eye from Dr. Valak.
Yeah, so it's like
they're taking things back.
what is this thing going to look like? It's going to be part kitsune. It's going to be part werewolf. It's
going
to have the eye.
I know what they're going for. What they're trying to make. But I cannot.
You can't tell
us. See, what's so funny is that.
I don't even know what Parrish is.
Yeah, and he doesn't tell me, for the record, he doesn't tell me any of this stuff. So sometimes, like, I'll just read my part because I don't want to know because I watch the show as a fan also. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, are you kidding? He's like, just watch. Just pay attention.
What's happening? Yeah.
What's going on? Why did she do that? You know, so I have to, and then I have, like, vague recollections. Wait, I think I read that in a script. And then I'm watching it happening. Right? Because the supernatural stuff, you really need to keep track of it. Why go back and forth? But I love watching the show as a fan.
Oh, yeah.
So I try not to know too much what's in the script since mm-hmm. it doesn't concern my character.
It definitely seems, though, like they are building
something.
One big Frankenstein monster.
Yeah, it's very frightening.
Yeah, it's very frightening. And what was, like, the guy that was in the tube next to Hayden and Liam?
Yeah.
It was like maybe they were trying...
With a little wingy thing?
Yeah, it was like, were they trying... Oh, not Zach, but the guy that was still in the tube. Like, were they trying to create another doctor? Like, it seems like they're keeping that thing alive, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason.
There's a reason. Come on, Sheriff.
There's a reason.
Help us put the clues together.
Well, you're getting warm. Everything you're saying makes sense. Fire salamander. They're not here just to, you know, bitch.
Can you imagine, like, going through all of that stuff, and then you end up with just, like, a little salamander steak?
That's what they're making. And it's big. So what is Zach?
Like
it seems like...
Lure. The fire salamander.
Zach is not a salamander. It seems like he's going to have wings, though.
That was also frightening.
Oh, that was hideous.
How do you guys feel about Liam taking the pain from Hayden? I thought only alphas could do that.
Well, I know, because Scott wasn't an alpha when he took the pain.
I guess so. That's true.
It's something that a werewolf can do. I thought the scenes between him and Hayden were just
I'm such
beautiful.
A fan of Dylan Sprayberry's.
He just
came on last year. He just owns it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hayden is adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And their scenes, the Liam and Hayden scenes, I think are just fantastic.
They're really powerful.
It's fun because they're sassy. Yeah. And he's not afraid to kind of play that, like, oh, I've messed up again thing, you know? And
yeah.
I love it.
I like how honest he is.
You're rooting for them.
So honest.
Yes.
We have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hello?
Hello, caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Mark Hill from San Diego.
Mark Hill from San Diego.
Hey, Mark Hill. Do you have a question for our special guest?
Oh. Yes, I do, actually.
We're twisting his arm.
My question is, is it possible that the Drexers are like figments of like the Pact's imagination? Because I think everything went bad once Steel started coming in the picture.
Mm.
Once they allow Steel in the picture, like all these things started going down. And then if you take it back to the hospital, the school scene in the hallway when the dread doctor did the wave through the speakers and all that, everybody started seeing their nightmares. Scott was getting attacked by Kira.
I think anything is possible. It was almost like literal.
It was almost like literal. Scott was getting backstabbed by Kira.
Yeah, they all represented the fears.
Yes, it is interesting how that happened.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead. But do you think that they're a figment or they're a manifestation of someone? Someone has manifested these, or they're
coming from the inside out.
Coming from the inside out, which I wondered that too, and I would say tune in.
You almost got something out of him.
See, I'm keeping my mouth shut because I'm the worst.
Also.
I would just be like, wah, wah.
Did you have one more question, Markel?
Yes.
Go for it.
Yes, and it's really. Yes, I find it really interesting how the dread doctors, they almost the characters that they're not concerned with or attacking happen to be fire creatures, aka Kira and aka Parrish. And they weren't really too bothered when Theo told them that they were trying to figure out who was taking the bodies. It was kind of like they already knew, and it didn't. They weren't, you know, trying to bother with it. And then as far as when the lightning, the beginning of the season, when they did whatever to Kira, it was like they were kind of like, they brought out that inner fox, that kind of, like, that fiery creature in her. So my thing is, what if whatever they're creating, I think it has something to do with being a fire creature. And I really do think it has something that's a lot to do with Parrish taking the body.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I think she's like kind of like engineering the body to, like,
I would
I don't
say
know,
that. I wish I had a fire salamander. I'd say that right now. I wish I had a pet fire salamander.
A little friend.
Yep. No, I think that those are all good thoughts, and
really
I think that I can't really tell you a whole lot because then it would spoil it for a lot of people. But I think that all of your thoughts are very valid.
Yeah, I really like those, Markel. I hadn't really thought that the doctors could possibly be a figment, but now thinking about it, that makes sense. Other than that scene when Theo sort of talks to them, because I feel like if they were a figment, he would know not to talk to them. But I do feel like Theo has a huge part of it.
There's something going on with
Theo,
yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Markel, for calling in.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. Those were
Markel.
Great questions.
They are, and I wish I could
great
be...
Great thoughts,
if
yeah.
you call back in like 2 weeks, I'll be
then
able to answer
then y'all can chat about it.
More.
Yeah. Then I'll have more questions about what's coming up.
Yes, I'll be doing it every week.
Thanks so much, Markel. Have a good night.
You guys in the live chat, I'm sorry, my computer died.
Oh, no!
I know, I thought... I mean, I totally charged it before
but
I came.
But the dread doctors...
That's right.
That took
the
control.
Dead doctors.
It's the electricity that's going around in here just zapped it.
They've got sucked out from this awesome lightning rod
no.
of love.
Well, you guys are going to have to resort to calling in instead of messaging Ryan.
That's a new one, huh?
It's 424-256-1729. Let's talk about Theo.
Okay.
Now, Theo is... Well, I want to know...
Cody,
Cody Christian, amazing.
And doing such a great job.
Yeah, no, he is. And I want to know why Jeff didn't keep it a mystery, because I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, if we didn't see that scene with him, like, breaking his so-called dad's hand about the whole signature thing, I would still believe that he was good and helpful. And it would be probably a surprise to me when it was him all along. So I'm just kind of curious... You know, why that wasn't kept a secret. Mm. Which is probably more for the writers, right?
Call him again.
Call Jeff, please.
Where is Jeff when you need
Come
him?
Come on, Jeff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But there's been
Why'd
other things
that?
That Theo has done
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
since then.
He wanted to. I get it.
Because there's a... look.
Yeah, it's going to come together.
It's the one thing about this show is that and as a writer, it's got to mm-hmm. be incredibly difficult. And I visit the writer's room and I see them in there just because it's such dense storytelling
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that there are ripple effects from every event that occur, meaning that if something happens here, the ripples go out and it will affect something eight shows later.
Right.
You go, mm-hmm. oh my gosh. And none of it's accidental.
Yeah.
And they agonize over this stuff. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I think... I mean, I really think that kind of sets us apart in a,
right.
in a
Absolutely.
Really cool way.
You don't all of a sudden go, wait a minute. And then if you're
yeah.
watching...
Yeah,
yeah.
I
right.
would hate that. I hate
yeah.
the one-trick shows where it's like there was no... It was not obvious it was
yeah.
this person at all.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they, like, pull you out from under
right.
the rug.
Right, right,
and
right.
you're like, I never saw that. And then they have to backtrack through the flashbacks.
And
so.
What they
yeah.
did
the
before
story.
Didn't lend itself to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what's mm-hmm. fun about... Theo's story is that we kind as the audience
mm-hmm.
we kind of get to go along a little bit with what he's doing. It kind of
still
point.
Don't know
mm-hmm.
why he's
yeah.
doing it or who he is or what
yeah.
is what you know why
yeah
why?
I want Scott to pull his memories. Like, Theo was kind of shocked when that happened.
Oh, yeah, he
with
snapped
Corey.
Back. He's like,
oh, yeah,
that
like, oops.
He's like, he can do that?
He was asking like, a lot of questions.
He's like, wait a minute.
That? Can he do that to anybody? Can he do that to, like, does he actually have to be near you to do it, or can he just, like, do it across the room? Because you can do it across the room. Yeah, I'll just stay at the house. You go.
Yeah. He does not want to be near Scott. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious he wanted to be the hero, and Scott was feeling bad about it this episode.
I thought that Tyler did such a great job on the show. And I loved the stuff between him and Arden. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just heartbreaking. I loved her stuff. And you know, it's a character that you know, she's building this stuff up, and then suddenly you find out that she's had this, you know, this event happen to her, and she's struggling to remember it. And that your my empathy level, I can't speak for anyone else, just went up like, you know, 1,000,000%.
Maybe yeah. Did Kira commit
it's like
the
you're
crime.
Like the Grinch whose heart grew a little bit.
It did.
It just went from.
A little tiny
heart.
Heart that's like went.
Oh.
Like the Grinch.
Yeah. Do you guys think that Kira did it? What do you think?
She can't remember anything.
I think the Desert Wolf did it. There you go. That's
she
it.
She was wherever she was. Yeah. She's another country.
But what a great thing! What a great thing to set up for the actress, you know, and for the character and the friends of the character. It's like. Did she do it? Like, when you think, God, did I do something? And then it... Yeah, I love that it's not resolved. I also love the scene between Scott and his mom at the very end. Because, you know, so many times, like, all this stuff happens to these kids and they kind of reflect upon it. Like, you know, oh, crap, look what happened.
Yeah.
And he... Tyler was so good in that scene because he brought it back to being a teenage kid going... There was an essence of mom... what do I do? Mm-hmm. He didn't say what do I do, but as a kid, he's saying what do I do? I love that. Yeah,
that's
love
something
that.
I think we've all struggled with, even still to this day. Not just being in high school and being a kid, where it's like, oh, hey, there's something different with me and my friends, and I think it might be me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's great that we're exploring that, even in the supernatural world, because I think that's something we all probably go through our adult years. Is you know, there's something going on. Entire life never goes away. You're welcome, kids at home. Doesn't get bad.
That's right. They all say adolescence is horrible. Well,
strapping.
We see some of that too.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
it's like you grow up and you still have problems, but you got to pay bills now.
I know. I feel like I'm paying bills, but I'm not an adult yet. What's the deal?
I feel that way, too. We're going to take one more call.
Good.
And then we're going to get into an interview with you guys.
Okay.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Tyler, and I'm from Michigan.
Nice.
Michigan. We're hitting all the states. What, do you have a question for our special guest this evening?
I have a theory. Oh. Well, not a theory, because it was actually... Well, maybe.
Go for it.
You guys know how you said Zach had, like, wings in that last episode?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In season two, remember when Derek and Peter were looking at the laptop and they said that Jackson could have wings if, like, he evolved?
I love that you picked that up.
It was, like, at the couple of, like... The last couple episodes of season two.
Mm-hmm. Like, a mature Canama.
Remember when they had thought that Jackson was dead, but he was like in a cocoon type of thing, and he was like evolving, but then they had changed him like before he evolved.
I love that.
But they had.
I think you're on point. I think
you are way on point.
Yeah,
what is that?
It's hard to
explain. I think that's confirmation.
To actually, like, watch the video
Linda, what are you saying?
The episodes.
Tell us all.
You finally broke him.
You broke out. You got an answer out of him.
You got an answer out of me. Yes, yes. A mature Canama does have wings.
Boom.
That's probably as close as we're going to get.
Yeah, there you go. That's something, though. We'll take it.
Yeah.
It comes out, and it is a beautiful butterfly.
I'll take that to Beacon Bank.
That flies around the Nematon. Thanks so much for calling in.
Like a little lightning bug.
No problem.
Have a good night. Let's talk to you guys. Now... I asked Lyndon last time, Susan, what got him here in this studio right now, why are we talking Teen Wolf? What specifically from your childhood do you think contributed to you wanting to be an actor?
Contributed to me, like, okay, like the salamander and everything. Wow. I didn't start out to be an actress. And I actually, it was one of those things that I didn't really think about. And I left Atlanta to go to New York to be a model. And I'm kind of short for that, but I squeezed in, at the very end. And then I started doing commercials. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, this is so much more fun. And then I started going on auditions. So it was kind of like someone who discovers a sport only because, their friends are doing it and they just mm-hmm. happen to do it. And I can't imagine doing anything else.
But
as soon as I started,
you're pretty good at it.
Thanks.
Aww. Wouldn't it be great if I had never heard that story before?
Oh.
What?
Wait, what?
I thought you did childhood plays.
You're from Atlanta?
Did I see pictures of you as Cinderella? I would have been the kid, though, watching a childhood play going, gosh, I wish that was me on stage. Aww. But it never was part of what I did.
What's, like, a role that you really want to play in the future? Because I know you guys get to, like, kind of study those careers, kind of step in and, like, see what it would be like. And you have to really get into those careers. So if there's, like, a career that you want to play or a role, what would that be in the future?
Wow, that's a great one. I think I'd really like to play a politician.
I can see you as a politician.
Yeah, I'd like to play a politician for who sure. has a really strong point of view about something and has to, go up against the rest of the people, like have a posse. I think that would be great to have I love playing somebody's mom, so she could be somebody's mom as well.
Yes.
But it would be great to portray, because there are women my age mm-hmm. who are in politics. Oh, yeah. So,
only the best.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I'd like to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you guys have a question?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I love the roles that you guys play in this show. The adults are playing a more and more integral part of the story. I feel mm-hmm. like there's the wolf pack of kids, but now you're starting to see this wolf pack of adults form.
Ooh.
Right? everyone's kind of watching each other's back, and there's an inner circle. And Stalinsky's kind of hanging on the fringe of that inner circle right now. Doesn't know if you're going to be in or out, because you have these moral obligations and these legal obligations holding, above your head. But I guess when it comes down to it, everyone really looks towards you as a father figure. And a lot of people watching at home don't necessarily have the good fortune of having mm-hmm. a solid father figure or a mother figure in their lives. And the way that you guys come across is really powerful, and I think it helps a lot of people. So I love your performance in the show. I love your characters. And meeting you in person has just been just a thrill.
You guys are just great. All your hopes and dreams.
No, it's even now. Better. It's even better knowing that you're great people in person, aww. Too. And, if I had a question right now, I guess it would say, do you guys have any plans on working together in the future, maybe?
Oh, like a
anything,
side project? Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
Kind of on the horizon?
I told Jeff Davis that I would be the lunch lady, the janitor. I mean, I'm working my way through the school, right?
Yeah,
I'll
the guidance
do whatever.
Counselor.
Yeah, guidance counselor. I did the biology thing. Mm. I told him, I said, I'll do whatever, because I love being on the set with Lyndon, obviously, but I also love, like, the little interactions that our character has. I love being on that show, the whole environment of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were saying, it was interesting because I've tagged along with him to a couple conventions, and the amount of fans who come up, I'm getting with tears in their mm-hmm. eyes and talk about how important his character is to them as a father, that, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's a great... It's great.
It is one of the really rewarding parts of doing this part, this character, playing this character, is that it has touched positively so many more people than I ever imagined, than probably anything that I've ever done. And a really kind of, this whole show just goes to a whole different level with a lot of people, mm-hmm. and it's pretty cool to be a part of.
And the fact
like
that as a dad, mm-hmm. you've been flawed as a dad. Like he,
yeah,
you know, that's what's great about it. He's not
certainly in my real life.
In real life,
I don't see any from
what's
here.
What's fun is that he has a son on the show. You know, because we have daughters in real life. So like I think of Dylan as like my pseudo son. You know, but that's what's great too is that Zelensky isn't like just the perfect dad who's the father figure. You know, we watched your
human
battles
that's
with
what's
your
so
kids.
Great about these characters. Is that they didn't make Jeff didn't make these adult characters that are just like the mom, the dad, the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're humans. They have problems. They're involved in their kids' lives. They make mistakes. They
right. No, sorry. Which is what you were talking about earlier. Which what we were talking about. The parents of the show. So much of what they want to do is protect their kids, mm-hmm. and that brings a whole other level. Because at the end of the day, you want Styles to do right, but you're also, you know, and then Melissa wants Scott to be safe, so then parents and, you know, Natalie wants Lydia, I'm getting the names off, Lydia to stay safe. Mm-hmm. So you start making choices as a parent to protect your kid, and they're not always the right choices maybe that you should make.
Well, and then, you know it's we've opened up a whole nother can of worms in that I'm sitting in that elevator with Styles, and
I
look at him, and I know he's
lying.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he was lying.
That's so sad.
And it's heartbreaking as a parent, especially about something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you going to react to that when you find out? Because you're saying the law is the law right now, and your son. Accidental homicide, which is still homicide. He killed somebody. He committed murder. I don't know how he's going to handle that situation.
Yeah, does the parent child relationship transcend?
Supersede the law?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Do you think? In some cases? I mean, I know that I'm not a father.
That we know. He hasn't told anyone here. Is the badge going to be melted? Like, what is happening?
It's going to
be really hard.
I can't wait to find out.
I know.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be...
I can just imagine,
it's
though.
It's going to be heartbreaking.
Because, you know, parents go to lengths to protect their kids sometimes and do things they never
thought
they
would have. Supernatural in those situations.
And you take it to that next level of... If you found out your kid did this, if they were... involved in this, there's a whole change that is just a huge earthquakes, you know, in their life.
Mm-hmm.
A big, big life-changing event
that
they were just involved in. That talk about your ripple effect.
Right.
That's a big old rock.
Tsunami-sized ripple.
Exactly.
Right, if you think about it, Styles also, in a way, could be protecting you by not telling you because he knows anything you would have to take responsibility for.
I feel like you're going to have to retire because you're you're like this moral guy, and it's like, I just mean on this show, like, you're going to have to join the pack. You know, like the Argent, and like you're gonna have to just work on the side with them because you can't have this conflict with protecting the town and then also helping the pack, and they need you.
No.
They need you. So I don't know. I feel like that could happen. Maybe you just give the badge in. You could
the inside man.
He could be like
have a whole
Scott
new
McCall's.
Wardrobe. He wouldn't wear the outfit all the time.
Right, no, there was
he would hate that because every day he just gets to go and put on his outfit. He doesn't have to have fittings.
I don't know. I'm wearing the same stuff I wore season one.
The same outfit they don't wear.
Oh, my God. And there was somebody during hiatus who, a person who will not be named.
Put it on.
Oh, no. Wore it for freaking Halloween. And then
I'm going to assume it was Styles.
No, it was not.
Okay.
It was not. And then I got, I dig in my coat pocket or my pants pocket. And I pull out a Mongolian barbecue pizza joint menu, and I'm like, really? Really? They didn't
When
wash
was I
it?
In Mongolia?
No, and he had told me that he had like, gone out to Halloween.
I didn't know
and
about
this.
This.
And then I'm going, and they didn't even wash it? Son of a bitch.
That's messed up.
That polyester doesn't get
messed up.
And actually, that polyester doesn't hold any.
I'm kind of.
So I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah,
weirdly.
No kidding.
I was going to say, a quick step back. Speaking of styles and people who shall not be named.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I didn't even think to see in the episode, but I saw your tweet about when he pulls out his library card. Did anybody push pause and look at the library card?
Yeah.
What did it say?
What? Oh,
you know, no, I didn't press pause.
I missed it. Tell me.
Okay. Oh, this is fun. She doesn't know.
Come on, we got to wrap.
Okay, you're right. It was just the initial M. Snap. Styles has a first name.
Markel.
Mark.
He called tonight from San Diego.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm using that. It's got to be something.
What do you, all right,
what's
do you,
his first name?
What do you think
M.
his first name is?
As predictions, let's
what
go
do y'all think it is?
You go.
For who?
For Styles. What do you think his first name is?
His first name begins with an M.
Starts with an M.
Just name. It's going to be something weird. Probably a girl's name.
Just name an athlete. You know an athlete's name. Mickey? Oh.
Mickey. Michael.
Marshall, that's a good name.
All right,
I
you
like
going with
Marshall.
Mike?
Like that, it's a good name.
Marshall Styles?
Marshall Styles.
No, I mean Stilinski. The last name is Stilinski.
Yeah, Stilinski. Styles is just the nickname.
Marshall
for
Stilinski.
And it's Sheriff Stilinski.
Stilinski,
that would
yes.
be good. Marshall Stilinski and Sheriff Stilinski.
That'd be great.
I like it.
Major. Major and Sheriff. No, I think it should be Miles. So then it's Miles Styles.
Miles Styles.
Miles Styles. I like that, too.
Lyndon, do you want to name your son?
Nope.
No.
Man.
No.
It'll be Man.
Man Stilinski.
Ryan.
Let's go Marquelius.
What?
Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus. I think it's probably that. But
Marcus.
Thank you guys for tuning in tonight.
Thanks for having us.
That was great.
Thank you, Susan and Lyndon. It's been such a pleasure having you guys in studio. You gave us so many spoilers and hints about the rest of the season.
Great.
Thank you guys for being
here. Salamanders. Fire
salamanders.
Where can the fans tweet at you?
I'm at S. Walters Ashby.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Lyndon.
And I'm at Lyndon Ashby, I think.
We have really, like, wild names for this Twitter thing.
We should probably change to something salamander by the end of tonight.
Fire salamander. That'll be his little headshot.
With a capital man.
Man.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Man.
Salamander.
Yeah.
You guys, where can the fans follow you?
We're just off tonight. I don't know what it is. I'm Ryan Malady. You can keep up with me at Ryan Malady. Be sure to tweet me throughout the week with the hashtag ABTV Teen Wolf, and we shall talk more Teen Wolf.
You guys can find me at Brittany _Valdi on all social media.
You guys can follow me at Cinematic Escape. Thanks for joining every week. Come back Tuesday, 7 p.m. live on AfterBuzz TV. Have a good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.